This hour focuses on the Elliott State Forest in Oregon's Coos and Curry counties. The State Land Board faces a decision next month that meets August 13th on how to move ahead with the forest. Most of the forest is dedicated to the Oregon Common School Fund, but with logging cutbacks, it is actually costing the state more than it brings in at the moment. The state's preferred approach is to transfer the Elliott to a new owner. There are some feelings, obviously, on many sides. We've heard from the state. We've heard from timber operators. Now we hear from Steve Pedery, who is the conservation director at the group Oregon Wild. Steve, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me this morning.
So what are the issues that make the Elliott such a sensitive place?
Well, the Elliott is really unique among state forests in Oregon, state public lands, is it's the only state forest that still has a significant amount of old growth on it. A lot of the Elliott burned about 130, 140 years ago, but it was allowed to come back naturally. And what you have there now is this mixture of 100-plus-year-old forests and then a lot of stands that have been hammered in the last 20 or 30 years by clear cutting. But it's really unique. You don't find state or private lands left in Oregon that really have a lot of trees over 100 years old. And because the Elliott has that emerging old growth, it also sustains some of the most productive runs of wild coho salmon left anywhere on the Oregon coast. The Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife estimates that about 22% of all the wild coho that spawn in the Oregon Coast Range originate from the Elliott State Forest. It's also home to other endangered species of northern spotted owls, marbled murrelets, great public lands potentially for folks to enjoy through hiking, fishing, hunting, and camping. But the problem is that the Elliott has been managed, for the last 40, 50 years as essentially a private playground for the logging industry. There's not a single developed campground or hiking trail on it. Bob sort of alluded to the issue with the logging roads. Those are there because the state's management was really logging only, with no concern whatsoever either to environmental impacts or to the ability of the public to use this land that actually belongs to them.
It's really interesting. No recreational amenities whatsoever?
None whatsoever. There's not a single developed hiking trail. There's some informal trails that folks who are interested in the conservation of the Elliott have developed themselves to get out and see some of the resource values that are there, like the Milcoma River, and some remnant ancient old growth, some trees that are 500, 600 years old that survived those fires. But there's nothing there that the state has actually blazed or developed themselves.
So the Elliott State Forest Alternatives Project, which the State Land Board or the Department of State Lands is presenting to the State Land Board, has three options: new management of the forest with continued ownership by the Common School Fund, ownership and management by the state under federally approved habitat conservation plan. This is the HCP that's been mentioned so many times this hour, or transfer of ownership out of the Common School Fund in a manner that will meet the land board's trust responsibility and protect public values. Is there a general consensus which is the best way to move ahead among conservation groups?
I think the preference among conservation groups, and I think most educators, and I think anyone who looks at the problem, from a non-economic lens, is transferring the Elliott out of the Common School Fund. Oregon is really stuck in the past with this model where we try and fund education through clear-cutting or mining or grazing on public lands. Up in Washington, they figured out 20 years ago that was just not sustainable. They were essentially pitting education funding against environmental values, against clear-cutting or against salmon recovery. So they established something called the Trust Lands Transfer Program. And it's essentially a way for state land managers to identify lands that are environmentally sensitive and not suitable for logging, and then transfer them out of that Common School Fund management and into a different style of management. The bill that Bob Reagan alluded to a few minutes ago was designed at getting an identical program going in Oregon, essentially not doing anything radical, just doing what Washington has been doing for 20 years. And it certainly was very frustrating to see folks oppose that bill because, they essentially wanted the Elliott to go back to the way it was managed when it was logging only.
And this is House Bill 3474?
Correct.
All right. Yeah, I had a chance to check on that yesterday. It's stuck in committee, it looks like, and probably not going to move ahead unless a miracle happens. We have an email here from Bruce in Ashland. He writes, "The history of extraction of forest products has degraded our life-sustaining forest ecosystems. Promising funding from logging public forests for schools and funding is a cunning way to make ecosystems degradation seem good for the children, like salvage logging, rewarding burning the forest. We have to be very careful of the incentives we use to manage our forest watershed ecosystems. Decouple schools from forests, please." So that's pretty much the same avenue you were talking about. Let's take a call here from Grumpy John in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Steve Pedery from Oregon Wild.
Howdy. I was wondering, you had used the timber as the economic standard. I was wondering if it would be modified if you figured in the fisheries in terms of income. And then number two, I would really have liked to ask the previous guest if the historical forest had been maned with sustainable selective cutting rather than what I suspect is just pillaging clear cutting, if the forest would be different, if that large lump of incoming cash, if it had been moderated and sustained, wouldn't we be in a much better state now? And can we build the Forest Service for their mismanagement by allowing it to be plundered? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Grumpy John. Thoughts, Steve?
Well, I think on the first point, to the economic values of the fisheries or other resources the forest can produce, that's one of the problems we have with how the state has approached this Elliott Alternatives project, that they've essentially gone out and tried to attach a value to the logging that could take place if there were no environmental protections on the land, and then sort of ask the conservation community and the public to come up with the money to buy that out without really considering other values like the coho salmon the Elliott produces, like the old growth, like carbon sequestration. You know, in the age of climate change, we know that one of the best things we can do to combat climate change here in Oregon is actually to allow forests to become old growth again. So that is a frustration we have with the state, that they haven't really been very good about trying to attach an economic value to the things the forest produces other than timber. And then, you know, to your second question, you know, our perspective at Oregon Wild is there's a role for sustainable timber management in lands that have been previously degraded. And we've seen that in places like the Siusla National Forest, where, you know, in the 60s and 70s and 80s, that forest was clear cut all the heck. And since the adoption of the Northwest Forest Plan, the Forest Service hasn't been able to do that, and they focused instead on conservation-based thinning, where they're essentially going into those old clear cuts that were replanted as monoculture Douglas fir tree farms and trying to get them back to something more like a natural Pacific Northwest forest, you know, with that goal of restoring old growth over time. You know, when I talk about a trust lands transfer program for the Elliott, I don't envision the forest going to Oregon State Parks and then being locked up forever. You know, my view is that it should be transferred to Oregon State Parks, the forest that's already over 100 years old, that is that natural native forest that came back after the fire, should be set aside and protected. Then we should focus on conservation-based management of those stands that have been clear-cut over the last 20, 30 years and replanted as Douglas fir plantations, as tree farms. You know, that's a way to generate revenue to pay for the management of the forest, to still produce some sustainable timber jobs, and to improve the overall health of the forest. And, you know, that's really what we envision when we talk about a trust lands transfer program.
All right, so it's essentially a split up in allocation of the land to different areas. Tree farms, though, it's interesting. I didn't think I'd hear you support that.
Well, I mean, as a long-term management, that's not something we'd like to see continue, but, you know, we have to recognize that's what happened in the 70s and 80s, and in the Elliott, it continues to happen today, where, you know, folks will go into a stand that's 80, 90, 100 years old, that's a diverse forest, clear-cut it, replant it as Douglas fir, and then use herbicides to kill anything else that grows in. You know, we'd like to see forests that have been managed like that managed to try and get them back to something more like a natural Northwest forest. You know, without clear cutting, without using these herbicides going into the future.
I know the Douglas timber operators, Bob Reagan was on just before, you heard some of his stuff. They talk about the Elliott growing 75 million board feet of new timber annually. First of all, I don't know how that checks against your figures, but second of all, is there a number you have in mind for what could be cut out of there sustainably?
Well, you know, I think the first thing is a little misleading because it essentially represents the recovery of the Elliott after the last binge of clear cutting. You know, sure, it's growing faster than we're logging it. That's because we logged it incredibly aggressively over the last 20, 30, 40 years. So just using that metric of wow, the forest is growing faster than we're cutting it is a little misleading. You know, it's something we see folks in the logging industry do frequently when they talk about the Northwest Forest Plan and Northwest Forests, that they're growing faster than we're logging them. Well, that's because we clear-cut most of them in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. So, you know, that's not a metric I think I can support. You know, to what's sustainable, you know, I think that's something that's it's hard to put a figure on. I think that has to be developed in conjunction with salmon biologists and other biologists, with folks who work on northern spotted owls or marbled murrelets, identifying what can be taken without harming the species. And, you know, that's kind of what got us into this mess in the first place, is that the state had a timber management plan for the Elliott around about 2007. They wanted to essentially double the cut to try and get more log volume to local logging companies and to generate some more revenue for schools. That got them in trouble because it violated the Endangered Species Act on numerous fronts, and then ultimately they had to back off of it, and they found themselves in the place they are today where they have no logging plan that can actually pass legal muster.
So you think the old management plan actually would have been fine if they stayed with that?
It certainly would have been better than what they tried to do. You know, it's not something I was thrilled about, but I think there's a cautionary tale here for the logging industry that they put pressure on the state, you know, to essentially double the cut and manage the Elliott just like a private tree farm. And what they got out of that was some clear violations of the Endangered Species Act, which, you know, ultimately led us to the place we are today. You know, I'm not in a position to tell you what how many board feet per year the Elliott can produce sustainably. I think that's something that needs to be developed, you know, again, with ODFW, with the biologists who know what those fish and wildlife species need.
I see the work sessions coming up. There was one already yesterday in Salem for education beneficiaries. They're dividing these up by constituency groups. So timber and production interests get their meeting in Portland on July 7th, followed by statewide conservation organizations, which presumably includes yours. So, it sounds like they're going to hear a lot of what we've been hearing in the last few minutes here on The Exchange.
Yes, I think the conservation community and a lot of the education community are on the same page. You know, educators, you know, I can't speak for those groups, but my sense is they want a predictable flow of money. You know, they don't particularly care where it comes from. They just want to see the Common School Fund, you know, managed sustainably and producing an amount of funding for education that's stable and predictable.
But the Common School Fund is filled up with income from the Elliott, or that money goes into that fund, but it's not like that amount actually comes out every year either, right? I mean, there are other contributors to the Common School Fund?
Correct. And you're talking about a fund that's over $1 billion, mm-hmm. and the Elliott is on the order of $5 or $6 million a year of that. So it's a tiny fraction of the overall package. But yes, it gets commingled with the rest of the funding and then divvied up and spent on schools statewide. So there's not really a one-for-one connection.
All right. So the general move ahead here is to encourage a transfer of ownership to some other state agency or some other agency that would manage the land for values other than just cutting trees.
Exactly. And I think Washington has really demonstrated, you know, for the last 20 years that model works. It works for timber in Washington. They still get a sustainable level of timber management up there. It works for education. And it certainly works a lot better for the environment.
All right. So, again, the meetings that are coming up for timber and production interests July 7th in Portland, statewide conservation organizations, same day, same place, local government and economic development interests July 16th in Coos Bay, followed by a work session for local conservation organizations. So several meetings coming up, and then the State Land Board pulls it all together at its August 13th meeting. We've been talking about the Elliott State Forest here in the Exchange. Steve Pettery, Oregon Wild Conservation Director, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care.